Well, Thanksgiving is all over behind us, and now Christmas is well on its way. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Just 4 weeks away. One of the things my wife and I, we like to do this time of the year, her more than me, is watching Christmas movies. And that's one thing I have to do, is watch Christmas movies. Friday night, we watched It Is a Wonderful Life. For the first time. How many of you have seen It Is a Wonderful Life? A lot of you have. So you're familiar with that film that was released on December 25th, 1946. It's an old, old classic. Nothing like the old Christmas classic movies. You know, that film has such a great story, even for 2018. For those of you not familiar with it, it's about a man named George Bailey. He had so many problems in his life that he was considering suicide on Christmas Eve. And when his life just started going downhill, his wife, his kids, and many people began praying for him. And so up in heaven, these angels are talking about how they're going to save George and rescue him from taking his life. And so Clarence is chosen to be his guardian angel and to come down and help him. But before he comes down, he's given a flashback of all of his George's life. And so a lot of the movies takes you through his life and shows you his unselfishness for others and how he did so many good things to help other people, and he just lost sight of what his life, that he really did have a wonderful life. And so the night that Christmas Eve he was about to jump off this bridge, well, Clarence, his guardian angel, jumped off before him. And so George saw this man crying out for help, so George ended up saving Clarence. And so by doing that, Clarence saved George's life. And so anyway, after they were drying off and come to find out Clarence was his guardian angel, and so George says, you know, I'd been better off had I not been born. You know, people would be better off without me. And so Clarence got this idea, okay, we're going to show him what it'd be like had he not been born. And so everything was changed in his city, back to as if he has never born. And so as they go through town, and he begins to see how his life touched many other lives, and his community would have been different had he not been born. You know, it's a great story. You ought to watch it. But I want to tell you that there's a story that's far, far greater than that story. It's the Christmas story, the story that we read every year at this time, and in the Bible, about how God sent His only begotten Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. I tell you, it's a wonderful story. A wonderful story, so worthy of our attention, yet it's drowned out by this ocean of communication today, media, advertisement, especially this time of year that's going on. Some of you survived Black Friday. I'm glad I stayed home. I saved a lot of money. I stayed home, but my wife didn't save me any money. She went out on Black Friday. But you know, all these ads and everything just striving to get our attention and deliver a message to us that sometimes the greatest story of all, the greatest message of all, is crowded out of our lives. It's really a sad thing. You know, really the key to navigating through all this information overload that we have today is to decipher which message or messages are worthy of our attention. I want you to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read these first four verses, and I want to say that I'm going to be spending today and the next three Sundays in Hebrews. And you're probably thinking, Pastor, that's not really where we find the Christmas story. Well, yes, we do. It is found in Hebrews. I mean, we may not have the details of his virgin birth and so on, but I know you're going to read those with your family and Christmas morning, Christmas Eve. Many of you are familiar with that, but why Hebrews? You may be asking, Pastor, why are you preaching the Christmas story from Hebrews, of all places? I realize it's not your typical go-to book at Christmas time, but you're going to see today, and you're going to see in the next 3 weeks, that Hebrews so eloquently shows us why the Christmas story is most worthy of our utmost attention and application right here in 2018. That's why I think Hebrews is all that. It shows us why it's important. And God led me to this passage and this book to preach on because I just feel like that, I know for me, being Christian for many years, since 1980, and being in the ministry for going on 27 years now, I've read the Christmas story countless times. And I honestly confess, sometimes I come to Christmas and read the Christmas story, and it's almost like just a ritual. This is just what we do. We just read the Christmas story, and it doesn't grab hold of me like it should. It doesn't change me like it should. It doesn't capture my attention like it should. You know, there's so many other things that grab our attention, when this story should be the one grabbing our attention. I want you to look in verse 1, chapter 2 of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would just speak to us today. Challenge us, Lord, with the message of your word. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why should the Christmas story grab our attention today? Why should we take a closer look this Christmas at the story of Christmas? Why should we, as he says here, give the more earnest heed to this message? You know, could it be that we're so familiar with the Christmas story that we don't get excited about it? You know, we may read it with our family on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, but we don't really give our full attention to the story. We don't really stop and ask, what's the application of this story for my life now? You know, familiarity not only breeds contempt, it breeds neglect. You know, he warns us about neglecting something here in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what the great danger of this is? If we neglect these truths, if we just pass over these truths this Christmas, if we don't really get into them and get excited about them again and try to heed the message of Christmas and to share that message with our kids and our grandkids, you know what's going to happen? You know what the danger of that is? Letting those things slip. Letting them just slip on past our children, our grandchildren. Let them slip on past till one day We don't even know what Christmas is all about. You know, it's for this very reason here in this chapter that we are urged to pay the utmost attention to the most worthy of messages. What message is he talking about here? Because he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You know, I like what he says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, the message he's talking about here is the message of so great salvation. Do you remember when Jesus, before he was born, the angel appeared and told Mary and Joseph exactly what to name that Christ child? He said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus means Jehovah is Savior. Here we have God in flesh being made a baby, born of a virgin, coming to die for the sins of the world. Coming, as Hebrews 2 tells us later on, that in verse 9, that he came to taste death for every man. Think of how life would be different had he not come. You know, it's so great salvation that the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ has provided, delivering us from so great a death. I want you to look for a moment. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I like these descriptions, how he describes salvation. So great salvation. You know, this adjective, so great. It's so great. Why is it so great? In 2 Corinthians 1:10, it's talking about Christ who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So Christ, it's so great a salvation because he saves us from so great a death. Stop and think about that death for just a moment. What death? Second death. Eternal separation from God, the lake of fire forever. That's a great death, I tell you. It's eternal death, separated from God. Eternal punishment. Eternal lake of fire is what Scripture teaches. So this is so great salvation, delivered by a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, delivering us from so great a death. This is a message that is worthy of our utmost attention. That's why he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we'd heard. Who is he talking to here in verse 1? We. Therefore, we. Who's he talking to? Look at the verse before that. Verse 14, chapter 1. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He's talking about heirs of salvation. He's talking about you and I. If you're saved this morning, he's talking to you. This message is for you. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and you've experienced so great salvation from so great a death, he's talking to you. You're an heir of salvation. And he's saying to us, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. You know, what is he talking about? Things that we have heard. You know, going back into chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, I want you to look at these two verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Now next week we're going to go back to chapter 1, look more at this chapter, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this chapter, but the therefore in chapter 2 is referring back to chapter 1. What he's doing in chapter 1 is he's saying, God has spoken. He spoke in times past through the prophets. We have the Old Testament evidence of God speaking through these prophets. But he says in these last days, he's spoken through his Son. And he goes on to explain in this chapter how that his Son is more superior than the angels because of his divine nature and character, because he is very God of God. He is God's Son. He is the first begotten of the Father. Verse 8, unto the Son he said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The sepulchre of righteousness is the sepulchre of thy kingdom." Verse 6, he told the angels when he brought his first begotten into the world, he said, "And let all the angels of God worship him." There's no question about who Jesus is. He's God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He is so much better than the angels, verse 4. What he's trying to do is show the superiority of Christ. He's superior over angels. He has a better name. He's God in flesh. He purged us from our sins, and now he's set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He goes on showing how that he has spoken by his Son, who is superior over these angels. And then when we come to chapter 2, he says in verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels..." And then verse 3, "How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by" what? "By the Lord, by his Son." You know what he's saying here is that, you know, this message of so great salvation, God spoke that message to us by his Son. By his life, by his ministry, by his words. You know, it's the most earth-shattering message that we could ever hear. I don't know if you see the connection that he's making in chapter 2, verse 3, with chapter 1, verse 2. There's a connection. He's saying, in these last days, he's spoken by his Son. Chapter 2, verse 3, He's spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us by them that heard him. He's talking about Jesus. This message comes down to us from Jesus. And so after he powerfully expounds in chapter 1 the superiority of Christ over angels as the divine Son of God, he directs us to its appropriate application here in chapter 2, verse 1, by beginning, "Therefore..." Which means, for this reason, because Jesus is superior, because Jesus is greater, because Jesus is worthy, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed. Why? Because it came from him. The message came from Jesus, this superior Son of God who's seated on the right hand of the Father. What he's saying here basically is this: given the superiority of the Son over the angels, Jesus both deserves and demands to be heard by us. That's why he says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we had heard. We ought to give more earnest heed. Why? Because he has spoken by his Son, amen, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he further explains this point. Notice that connecting word, "for." "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast..." Now what is he talking about here? He's talking about back in the Old Testament, when the law of Moses was given to, when God gave the law to Moses, it came through the hands of angels, through the instrumentality of angels. Let me just give you a couple of verses just to look at. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33 in verse 2. And you said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. You know, what's he talking about, 10,000 of saints? He's talking about these angels. Let me give you a New Testament verse in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Go to Acts 7, 58, or I think it's verse 53, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 7, verse 53. Stephen preaching and talking about the prophets of being persecuted and betrayed, murdered. But then he says in verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. I could go on. Galatians 3:19 is another example. But the scripture clearly teaches that God used the instrumentality of angels when he gave his law. And you know what? Back in those days, you can go read the Old Testament. There are many examples of this when angels did appear to people. I mean, they're because of their power, their authority, their presence, people were frightened to death. I mean, they saw an angel, they thought they were going to die. I mean, it was frightening to see such a glorious holy angel appear to them. And I want you to get what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So he's talking about, you know, these angels back in the Old Testament, they gave the law. It was through them the law came. And when people disobeyed, when people did not give earnest heed to the message that came through angels, and judgment came, how much more should we listen to Jesus? How much more should we give the more earnest heed now that he had spoken to us by his Son? You see how important it is for us to listen to this message. To look more closely at the Christmas story this year. Amen. How foolish to neglect this story. Amen. You know, I realize that this story, so great salvation, this message he's talking about here in Hebrews, it's not just about what we call the Christmas story, Jesus being born of a virgin. But it goes beyond that. It goes to the cross and his death and his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his being glorified and being seated on the right hand of the Father and coming back in glory. And it encompasses all those things. But listen, had Jesus not come, There would be no gospel story to share. There would be no so great salvation had the Son of God not been made a baby, had not taken on the nature of Abraham, and as he says in Hebrews chapter 2, so that he could taste death for every man. The Christmas story is a big part of the gospel. The gospel hinges on the story of the Christmas, Jesus coming. Because had he not come, we would not have salvation. Amen. As he continues in verse 3, what he's doing is he's moving from lesser to greater. He's moving from angels to Jesus in his argument. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How much more will God judge us if we spurn the gospel? How much more? I mean, those in the Old Testament, they received just recompense of reward for their disobedience, for their neglect of the Word of God that was delivered through angels. How much more? That's his argument here. We are to give more earnest heed. Why? Because it's coming from a greater authority. It's coming from Jesus himself. And how much more is God going to judge those that spurn the gospel delivered to us by his Son, Jesus Christ? You know, it's not a light thing for you to hear the blessed gospel story and neglect it to your own damnation. You know, not only was this message of so great salvation spoken by the Lord, but notice he said it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. What is he talking about? Well, it was confirmed by these eyewitnesses. He's talking about the apostles, those that heard him, those that walked with him, those that witnessed his miracles, those that sat under his teaching, his preaching. It was confirmed by these eyewitnesses. I want you to look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. You know, this is typically where you'd probably go to read the Christmas story. You'd start in Luke 1 and read on through chapter 2. But I want you to notice how this Gospel of Luke begins in verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. You see that, eyewitnesses? They delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Listen, I want you to understand something, that the message today that we believe is not some kind of myth or legend. The virgin birth is not some myth. It's truth. There were eyewitnesses. They confirmed this message of salvation. They were there to confirm it as eyewitnesses. They gave credible stories of this account that we have in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So our message we're talking about, that we are to give more earnest heed to, he's talking about these things that we've heard. Why should we give the more earnest heed to these things? Because they've been confirmed by eyewitnesses. They came from the Son, and they're confirmed by credible eyewitness testimony of the apostles. But look in verse 4. God also bearing them witness. Not only was it confirmed by these credible eyewitnesses, but it was confirmed by God. God bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God himself testified to the veracity of the gospel, to the credibility of the message of salvation. How did he do it? By signs and wonders. By miraculous gifts he gave to the apostles to confirm the message. You realize that these apostles in the first century, that this was before the New Testament was written, that God bore witness to their message by signs and wonders. He gave credibility to their message by divers miracles. and gifts. You know, some people want to say that we have all these gifts today, but listen, these sign gifts were given for a particular time in God's dispensation. That we don't have them today like they were there, because you know what? We have the Scriptures. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit today. We have the witness of Christians today. But I want you to look at something in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In verse 19 and 20, these last two verses. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth. Who's he talking about? Well, you go back up in the context, it's the 11. It was his 11. Remember Judas, he hung himself, but it was these 11 apostles. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. See, as they went forth preaching, these eyewitnesses, I mean, think of the message they were preaching to people about God sending his Son, who came in this world by means of a miraculous, supernatural virgin birth. He was born, he lived a perfect, sinless life, and then people rejected him and crucified him on a cross. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He became our Savior. And not did he just die for our sins, but the third day, he rose again alive. Can you imagine people thinking, what an incredible message. That's got to be a big fable. Where'd you come up with that story? No, God proved it and confirmed it through signs and wonders. Because, you know, Ephesians tells us that the apostles were the foundation of the church. They laid the foundation. Now the foundation's been laid. We don't have these sign miracles, but I want you to look at another, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. This is Paul writing here to the church at Corinth. He said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. What do you say? Yes, the signs of what? An apostle. The apostles were given these signs and miracles, these miraculous gifts. It was through them that heard him, eyewitnesses, that God bearing them witnesses. Back in Hebrews 2:4, them is going back to them that heard him. Those eyewitnesses, those early apostles, they heard him and God bore them witnesses. They went out with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, all of that, he's arguing this point in verse 1. He's arguing this truth. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. That's his whole point. That's my whole point today. You got all these social media messages, all these ads you get in the mail, these newspapers, these TV ads, all these things clamoring for your attention, clamoring for to have you listen to their message. Don't forget the message that you should give the more earnest heed to. All these other things around Christmas time can crowd out this most important, urgent message that we need to give the more earnest heed to. Because he says in verse 3, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to think, if you're an unbeliever here this morning, you're not a believer, you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, how are you going to escape if you neglect so great salvation that God has provided? God has spoken by his Son. It was confirmed by those that heard him. Even God bearing them witness. And today we have the testimony of many Christians that have given, that could give testimony of salvation of God. We have the testimony of the Scriptures. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We have all these things. How can you escape? How are you going to escape the judgment of God if you neglect so great a message? Amen. Friend, think of the awful judgment you will escape by fleeing to Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen. Yes, sir. You know, he tells us in 2 Thessalonians about his second coming to earth in judgment. And he says there in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Think of that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? I mean, think of it. Think of what judgment, eternal death, so great a death you can escape just by coming to Christ and trusting him today as your only Lord and Savior. You ought to give more earnest heed to this message. I mean, if you, maybe you don't fully understand it. Well, get in the Word of God. Give earnest heed to what God says, to what he's saying through his Son, Jesus Christ. Go to the Gospel of John. Read the story about Jesus. Give the more earnest heed. It's far more important than reading Facebook messages. It's far more important than going home and reading the newspaper. You ought to give more earnest heed until you have found Christ as your Savior. Amen. But you know, this message that we have here in Hebrews, it's not, he's not just speaking about the danger of a lost person. I want you to understand that. I believe the primary application, he's talking to believers here. We make application to the lost person, yes. Primarily, that's what we do at verse 3. We apply it to a lost person, but we fail to apply it to who he's really applying it to. Because who is the we in verse 1 we talked about? The heirs of salvation. Who is he writing this letter to? Believers, those who had been saved. Hebrew, Jewish people who turned away from their Judaism and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're going through trials and tribulations and persecutions. So I believe, this is my opinion, Paul wrote this letter to the Hebrews. Amen. And he's trying to encourage these Hebrew Christians who have embraced Christ to keep on. Amen. Trusting him. Don't go back to your Judaism. Because Christ is far more superior. I mean, you have all these prophets in the Old Testament, but Christ is far superior. He's going to go on to this whole book of Hebrews. He's superior over Moses. He's superior over them all. Even over the sacrifices that you went to the temple and worship, and you would bring these sacrifices, but they cannot take away sin. But Christ is far more superior because he came to give us a perfect salvation. He came to lay down his life and purchase us from our sins. I mean, that's what he's arguing in this whole book of Hebrews. He's trying to get them to see how great Jesus is. Amen. And these Christians were in danger of what? Neglecting the message that they had heard. Neglecting the Savior that they had embraced by faith. The danger for the believer when they neglect these truths and fail to give the more earnest heed to them, he tells us in verse 1, is that we should let them slip. You know, this word slip, it's a nautical term. A term that sailors would understand, or people that are fishermen that have to do with boats and ships. And This is the kind of term that he uses. And this term slip has the ideal or the meaning of blowing past. Something that's just drifting past or flowing past. Something that carelessly slips away. I want you to think about an example. I'll give you an example. I want you to suppose that you were in a boat. You're out in the ocean. You're in this boat. And you see an island far off. I mean, you want to get to that island. I mean, that's your only hope, is to get there. And you're just drifting out there in the ocean. Let's suppose that you neglect those oars. And you don't get busy rowing, heading toward that island. But you just neglect and go to sleep. Thinking, oh, I want to get to that island. But you go to sleep, you neglect the oars, you just sleep. And what happens when you wake up? The island has slipped past. It's gone. The destination you wanted to get to, you failed to get there. Why? Because you did not give the more earnest heed. And so, it slipped away. Think about the application in Christian life. There's two options that we have as Christians. We can either row forward in faith, or we can slip backward in unfaithfulness. There's no such thing as standing still in the Christian life. If you stand still in your Christian life, if you don't give the more earnest heed to these things that you have heard, and listen, the more earnest heed, it not just has to do with hearing the message, but it has to do with heeding the message. Amen. Heed means obey. Give the more earnest heed. What does that mean? Listen and obey it. If we don't do that, guess what? He said, we're in danger of letting these things slip. They're going to slip and drift away. I want you to think about it. I mentioned hearing and heeding. Two things. That's your oars, okay? You got two oars. You got hearing and heeding. If you don't take those two oars and fight against these strong cultural currents that are all around us, you're going to slip. These truths of the Word of God is going to slip away. You're going to slip away from biblical thinking. You're going to get carried away by the cultural confusion of our day. I mean, let's stop and think about this. How many of our young people that's gone off to college, and I'm not just saying in this church, but just in this country, have allowed these things to slip? How many of them are actually disciples of Jesus, making disciples at college and going on their adult life serving Jesus Christ with all they have? How many are doing that? You see, if we don't give more earnest heed as parents, our kids are not going to give more earnest heed. They don't give more earnest heed. These things are going to slip. And all this cultural confusion comes in. All these cultural tides and beliefs and philosophies and everything is going to come in and take over their thinking. Amen. Why do you think churches are empty today? Why do you think Christians are drifting away? Why do you think we hear things on the news like some woman is allowed to stay as a pastor and she's an atheist? She don't even believe God. Well, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, she's a woman. A woman should not pastor. Number two, she don't even believe in God. Amen. Why are we accepting things like that? Because we've let these things slip. Amen. And we think, well, we're independent Baptists. We're not going to do that. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. We believe the Word of God. But listen, he said here, if you don't give the more earnest heed, these things are going to slip. You know, even adult Christians, I'm not talking just to baby Christians, adolescent Christians, even mature adult Christians, if we don't give the more earnest heed to these things we've heard, the danger of letting them slip is right around the corner. You know, just like being in a boat, if you just, in moments, you can veer off course. Doesn't take long, does it? I mean, the current will be carrying you before long, that island's gone. Same way with our soul. If we don't give more earnest heed to these things, guess what? It ain't long that we drift so far off course that we let these truths slip. You know, we see in the news every day about this theological and spiritual slippage, is what I'd call it, in many churches, among many preachers and church members. Think of the damage that can be done right here in our church if we don't give more earnest heed to these things. Think of the things that damage done in your family if you don't give the more earnest heed. Think of the things that your own individual spiritual life, if you don't give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, things that you've been taught about so great a salvation, if we don't embrace these things and give heed to these things, hearing and heeding, these things are going to slip. We're going to be taken over by the cultural confusion around us. This biblical thinking that we should have is going to slip away, and we're going to be thinking just like the world. We're going to be conforming to the world instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. But we could turn that around. Think of what can happen if you give the more earnest heed. Think of what your church will be like. Think of what your family will be like. Think of what your personal life will be like if you give more earnest heed to the message. So great salvation. This Christmas, you just dive into the Word of God. You dive into those Christmas stories. You get into Matthew. You get into Luke. You read these stories about the birth of Christ. You ask God, what's the application for my life today? Get into them. Give earnest heed to them. Listen and heed the message that the Lord has spoken by His Son. What a difference it can make in our Christmas. What a difference it can make in our lives. And what a difference it might make in somebody who is a lost friend or loved one. If they see our lives so excited about this message. If we don't give the more earnest heed, how do you think lost people around us are going to give heed to it? When we're so casual about it, when we don't give much heed to the message, and then we try to give a track to our lost co-worker or a lost neighbor, and we say, hey, I want to invite you to our Christmas cantata service. Our choir is going to be singing. Won't you come? They're going to be looking at you like, well, I've got other things more important to do. How shall we escape if we don't give the more earnest heed? How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to stand with me. Our Father, we're so grateful that You have spoken. You have spoken in times past by the prophets. Lord, we have it in Your Word. The testimonies of Your prophets as they had spoken to Your people, as they have spoken prophecies of our Savior Jesus Christ. But even greater than that, Lord, You had spoken by Your Son. Lord, You sent Your only begotten Son into the world, and You have spoken through Him. As John so eloquently said in his first chapter, his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is Your Word, O God. He came here to declare your glory, to tell us about you. Lord, his life speaks as well as his words. Lord, you send the best, your son, to speak to us. Lord, that you could care for us that much, that you want to give us a message. But the sad truth is that so many today don't heed that message. They neglect so great salvation. Lord, how are they going to escape? How are lost people going to escape if they neglect so great salvation? If they just spurn the message of the gospel. Lord, how are we as Christians, how are we going to escape the judgment that's going to come in our personal lives, that's going to come in our church, in our community, in our home, if we neglect so great salvation? Lord, you've given us a great salvation. We need to take heed to it. We need to live the gospel, share the gospel with others. God, help us this Christmas to understand the why we should give the more earnest heed. Because it's the most worthy message that we could ever hear and heed. Lord, I pray now that as we open the invitation, Lord, that you would continue speaking through your Holy Spirit. Lord, there may be someone here today that does not have Christ as their Savior, does not know where they're going to spend eternity. Lord, I pray today that they would come to Christ, they would give the earnest heed to this message. The message that Christ gave us is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All we have to do is come in humble faith, trusting Christ, calling upon his name for salvation. Lord, I pray for the lost that are here that they would trust Christ today, call upon him. Father, I pray for your people that are assembled here, Lord, that you would forgive us for our neglect. Lord, sometimes because we're so familiar with the Word of God, we're so familiar with the Christmas story that we don't really heed it in our lives. We don't really get excited about it. We don't get excited to share it with our kids and grandkids. We don't get excited to share it with our neighbors, co-workers. It's just not exciting anymore. We've neglected it. Lord, forgive us and help us, Lord, to give the more earnest heed to these things that we have heard, these things that have changed us. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name.